In Psalm 100 and verse 3, we read this statement, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." You see, the Scriptures call Jesus the shepherd and calls us His sheep. Some people don't like being called sheep. Some people think of sheep as dumb and dirty, and I grew up with sheep. We used to have a flock of sheep that I had to help take care of. I know a little bit about sheep. And sheep, while they have a bad reputation, actually are a lot smarter than some people. And each sheep has its own personality. We even had names for them. So as David writes the 23rd Psalm, he is giving insight into his relationship not only with the sheep animals, but with the Lord, and how the Lord takes care of us, just as the shepherd takes care of his sheep. So he says this in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." We belong to Him. We have experienced His care. David says, "I know Him. I know He's going to take care of me. The Lord is my shepherd." Just as each one of the sheep that I grew up with had a personality, God knows each one of us, and He knows each one of our personalities too. He knows everything about us. Do we know Him? We're told in John 10, verse 4 and 5, "When He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them," speaking of the shepherd, "and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." You see, sheep recognize their shepherd. When I'd walk out into the pasture, they knew who it was. They recognized me. They know who cares for them, and they'll run away from somebody who's not their leader, who's not their shepherd. Do we have the sense to trust God the way that a sheep knows its shepherd? Or we listen to the stranger's voice of our society and follow that instead? We are told, "I shall not be in want." Sheep instinctively have a trust in their shepherd and don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't worry about where He's going to take them tomorrow, what they're going to eat tomorrow. They know that the shepherd has it all mapped out and that He has their well-being in mind. Do we trust our tomorrows to the Lord? Do we believe that He knows what's coming and that He'll make provision for us? Or do we worry like everybody else? Is there going to be enough? What's going to happen here or there? I never saw a worried sheep. They just trust the shepherd. They just trust that they're going to be taken care of. And look at the provision that the shepherd makes for the sheep as God makes for us. David then says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." You see, sheep graze from about sunrise until late morning. And then for 3 or 4 hours, they'll lie down and rest while they chew their cud. The shepherd knows this, so they start out their flock in rough herbage, moving the flock through the morning to richer, sweeter grasses, finally coming to a shady place in the afternoon rest so the sheep can have a contented time to just sit down and rest. God knows that. He knows we're going to go through tough times, and He's always there to lead us in a way that will bring good out of it. He'll lead us from the rough patches into the sweeter, richer pastures. And when the time comes for us to rest, He'll provide the rest for us. He's got it mapped out. He knows our lives. The Bible tells us that the race that we have to run has been laid out for us. God knows what's coming. He's in charge. The sheep know that. They know the shepherd knows that he's going to what he needs, what they need. And they trust him. He leads me beside still waters. Every shepherd knows that sheep don't like rapidly moving water in streams running down from the mountains. They don't like water that's moving. They don't like things that's splashing and making noise. They like nice, quiet, peaceful things like us. Things get too chaotic around us. We don't like it. We want a time of quiet and peace. The shepherd leads the sheep beside still waters. He will find a place where the rocks or erosion have made a little pool, or else he'll make one himself by blocking off part of the stream, so the sheep can have a quiet place to drink. I know at home, if you wanted to water the sheep, we had an old bathtub that we sunk down in the ground. And you'd put the water in there. It was a quiet place. Whenever they were thirsty, they'd go there and drink. If there was a stream flowing through the property, they wouldn't go there. They don't like moving water. They have to have the quiet, still water. He restores my soul. There are times during the day when the sheep will go to the shepherd for attention. The shepherd will reach out his hand and rub the sheep's nose and ears and scratch its chin and speak softly to it. The sheep will rub against the shepherd's leg, or if he's sitting down, rub against his cheek. After a few minutes of this reassurance, the sheep goes back to the rest of the flock. When we feel anxious, when we feel afraid, God knows that. And he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He says, come to me and tell me what's bothering you. Even sheep know that. If something's upsetting a sheep, he'll go to the shepherd. And yet too often we try to do things on our own. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, sheep have a specific grazing line. They know their place in line and they follow each other as they follow the shepherd. That's one thing that I noticed with the sheep. They all follow one another, and it was always in the same order. You knew who was going to be in front, so if you got the one in front going in the right direction, all the rest would follow. They knew what their place was. But out in the wilderness, you see, where the shepherd is taking his sheep over in Israel, there are all kinds of paths. How does a shepherd know which path to take his sheep on? Those paths lead to different destinations. You take the wrong path, could mean disaster for the flock. But leading them on the correct path brings glory and praise to the shepherd. A good shepherd is known for his ability to find the right path and lead the flock on the right path in the middle of a confusing wilderness. You see, our shepherd knows where the paths of life can take us. He knows where we will end up if we take this path or if we will take that path. He knows where they lead, and so he will guide us in the right path so that he gets the glory for his name's sake. And then David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, sometimes we try to make this into some just meaningless figure. There literally is in Israel a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. That's what it looks like. It is a narrow valley, a narrow gorge through the mountain range. It's just south of the Jericho Road. The climate of the nation of Israel requires that in order to have enough grazing land for the sheep, they have to go from one pasture to another pasture. And there's a mountain range between. How do you get from one pasture to the other? You can't go over the mountains. You have to go through this gorge. Why do they call it the Valley of the Shadow of Death? Well, because it's 4.5 miles long, has walls up to 1,500 feet high in some places. The floor down at the bottom is 10 to 12 feet wide maximum. Travel is dangerous because the floor is badly eroded from cloudbursts and is full of deep gullies. The actual footing on the rock path is so narrow the sheep have to go through single file, and they can't turn around. It's an unwritten law that flocks go up the valley in the morning and down the valley in the evening, because you can't have two flocks run into each other going opposite directions. There's no place to turn around. The terrain is so rough that even mules can't go through there. Only sheep, single file, and their shepherd. And it has been used from the earliest days of the Old Testament, and they still use it today as a way to get from one pasture to another. But about halfway through that narrow valley, there is a gorge. You see, the path goes down one wall, and then halfway through it switches over to the other wall. And right where it switches over, there's a 2 foot wide by about 8 foot deep gully, where a path on this side leads up to the gully, path on the other side goes on. They got to get across that gully. And one side of the path is 18 inches higher than the other. So how do you get across a 2 foot wide open space where one side is higher than the other? Well, the sheep have to jump across it. Now, if they're going through single file, they're going to need some help to make that jump. So the shepherd stands at the break and coaxes or forces the sheep to make the jump. If a sheep slips and lands in the gully, the shepherd will use his crook-neck staff to encircle a large sheep's neck or its feet or a small sheep's chest and lift it back up onto the path. No, we come to hard places in our life. Places that we have to make the leap. We call it a leap of faith. We come to a place where we see where we need to go, but boy, that's going to, you know, we have to trust to do that. That's in that valley of shadow of death. And the shepherd knows it, and so he makes provision. He stands there at that break point, and he helps the sheep across. God says, I will help you across. Trust me. Do what I tell you to do. Make the leap. Know that I will be with you. Then David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I don't have to worry about anything because I know that you're going to be with me. You see, in that valley of shadow of death, in that narrow gorge, there are lots of wild dogs who just love to eat sheep. And so they lurk in the shadows of that valley. They look for prey when a band of sheep enters the narrow path. The front sheep may encounter one of those dogs. Unable to retreat, the lead sheep bleats out a cry for help, and the shepherd, who is skillful in throwing his rod, hurls it at the dog, knocks it into the washed-out gully where it's easily killed. You see, the shepherd carries that heavy rod for a reason. He can throw it at things that are threatening his sheep. The sheep have learned to trust that. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The sheep can rest assured knowing that God is in control, that he has what they need. The sheep have learned not to fear, even in the valley of the shadow of death, because God's going to take care of things. A dog comes, the shepherd will throw his rod and take care of the dog. They fall in the gully, he'll lift them out with his staff. All of those things are taken care of. The master is there to aid them and keep them from harm. Remember, Jesus has said he's going to take care of us. He'll not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, but will, with every temptation, provide a way of escape. He's told us that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he'll always be there to supply the things that we need. And then David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, shepherds take their flocks to grazing pastures in the hills called tablelands. In many of these fields, poisonous plants grow in among the grasses. So each spring, the shepherd has to be on the alert for those poisonous plants. He takes a mattock and goes ahead of the flock, and when he finds those plants, he grubs it out, plant and root all, and lays it on stone piles to dry for burning the next day. The sheep are then led into the newly prepared area to graze in peace and safety. The tableland has been prepared so that they don't have to worry about poisonous plants and other things. It's all been taken care of. So after they graze, and the day is coming to an end, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You see, at the sheepfold, there's a bowl of olive oil and a large stone jar of water. As the sheep are led to the sheepfold at nighttime, the shepherd stands in the opening of the fold, and as each sheep passes, he examines it for briars and thorns stuck in the wool. Anything near its eyes that might cause irritation. He looks for scratches or wounds of any kind on the back of the sheep. And if he finds one, he puts his rod on the sheep's back, and the sheep knows, step out of line. Its wounds are cleaned. The injury is anointed with olive oil. The olive oil acts like a bandage, a disinfectant. A large cup is dipped into the water jug, and an overflowing cup of water is brought out. The sheep sticks its nose in the water all the way down to its eyes to cool it. And if it's thirsty, it'll drink until it's refreshed. If no cup is available, the shepherd will form a cup with his hands. And then finally, when all the sheep are safely in the fold, the shepherd lays his staff on the ground where he can reach it for protection and lies down in the opening of the fold to make himself the gate for the sheep. We see this spoken about in the scriptures when Jesus said in John 10:7-9, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." You see, Jesus is the door. He's the only way for us to get to God. He provides everything that we need. He provides the protection. He provides everything that these sheep need. And the sheep know that. But so many times we, unlike sheep, forget that. We think we have to take care of everything. I think God put the 23rd Psalm in the scriptures to remind us of how smart sheep actually are. And then David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." After all that care and protection of the shepherd, the sheep feel secure and confident in the shepherd. How secure is our trust? Do we question God's care? Do we ever say, "God, where are you? Why aren't you taking care of this?" He knows what's coming. He's going to take care of things for us. And David said, "Then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." With Jesus as our shepherd, having experienced his care and guidance throughout our lives, we know that he's going to continue that throughout eternity. Jesus said in John 14:1-4, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Jesus said, "I'm going to go and make things ready for you." Just like the shepherd goes and prepares the tableland, just like the shepherd goes ahead and protects the sheep, Jesus said, "I'm going to go ahead and get everything ready for you, and I will come back." You see, our God said he will supply our needs. He'll supply the rest that we need. He'll give us the calm waters we need to satisfy our soul's thirst. He'll give us the assurance and comfort that we need. And when we have to pass through those narrow, dangerous places, he'll be there to guide and protect us, to encourage us to leap over the gullies in our lives and continue on the right path. And if we do fall, he's there to lift us up and set us back on the correct way. He's our physician. He's the one who refreshes our dry, thirsty soul. He's our protector. He's the only way for us to enter the sheepfold of heaven. As Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And what is that path the shepherd leads us on? What is the correct path for us to follow so that we will get where we need to be? The scriptures tell us that the path to forgiveness and the eternal home with God is that we must believe Jesus is God's Son, that he's the perfect Lamb who died for our sins so that we could be forgiven, that we must repent of our sins and determine to follow the path that he has chosen for us, that we must acknowledge him as our shepherd, the one who loves us and cares for us, and that we must be baptized, immersed in water to wash away our sins. Then we become part of his flock. But if you're part of the flock, you have to follow the shepherd faithfully, trusting and obeying him in all things every day. Maybe you need to become part of the flock today. Maybe you need to have your sins washed away in baptism. Maybe you've become part of the flock, but you've not been following the shepherd as closely as you should. And you've fallen into that gully and you need to be lifted up and set back on the right path. This morning you have that opportunity as we stand together now and sing our invitation song.